has a huge role. Today, so that we as a country can take education to another level. We know that since your inception, you have assisted many deserving students to access higher education who otherwise would have been unable to access higher education. We all know that this year, 2014, there have been student protests in various universities across the country, and NEFAS was hindered as the cause of these protests. Now, the report we are getting is that 50% of students who are eligible for NEFAS did not get it because of inadequate funding. We have had a session with the officials from the Auditor General's office on Tuesday this week, and they gave us an overview of the performance of the Department of Higher Education and Training and its entities. Now, we are going to hear from you about your financial and non-financial performance for the year, for the period 2013-2014 financial year. So ladies and gentlemen, please feel free and relax. This is our meeting. We will allow you a presentation of your annual report, but also after that, I'll also open for a robust engagement so that we can have quality outcome of this meeting. So thank you very much. Please sit at home. You are welcome. And let's make this meeting our meeting. What's important is that we have a quality outcome of this meeting. We now move on to item number 3. Okay. I see we've got our other key stakeholder in my mind. They will come later, but here we are welcome. We belong to a democratic government that talks to transparency. So sure you can sit here and share with us on what we'll be engaging on with NEFAS, but also later on we'll then allow you. Special word of welcome to Prof. And your Council of Higher Education delegation. Please feel free, this is our meeting. Alright, so we will now move on to apologies. Are there any apologies?
Thank you, Chair. We should have an apology from Honourable Mbasha.
Honourable Mbasha, any reason for that
understanding? Please, I think it's my president.
Alright, another apology. Could we? Professor Kudika? Okay. Right. I have also received apologies from the Honourable Minister of Public Instruction and the Honourable Deputy Minister. As they, due to unforeseen circumstances, they are not able to join us and they are attending to the other equality demanding work. So for now, let's register being apologies, and I think that we accept the apologies. And apologies are accepted. Okay, maybe I should put it the other way around. I request for proposals to, for the acceptance of the apologies. Any proposals? Can see Professor Kozlovich proposing. And also, this year is Saturday. Thank you very much. So we then proceed with our agenda. You see our agenda is very stable. So we will now be on, we zoom on to item number 3, which is invitation from the Standing Committee on Appropriation to a joint meeting on the 21st, October 2014. Alright, that's about 44 years of higher education and training. There's an invitation to attend A, briefing on the status and effectiveness of the student's funding in South Africa. And this is scheduled for the 21st of October. The time is 10, and it should stretch up to 15 hours in committee room 1. All members are invited. We will then request the chairperson of NEFA to brief us on the current, I'm sorry, the old country will come later, on their annual report 2030, so for the members who are requested to listen attentively, and then so that when we engage, we engage on the strategic issues that will be raised through this presentation, but also as we engage and focus on those key areas and then come up with a report and recommendations that will be tabled to the National Assembly. But also, if next part in your presentation you feel, you strongly feel that you would like to recommend to us or us to look at, please feel free. Federal Foundation, and then we look at those recommendations and after that carefully applying our money, we will then be able to consider them. Thank you very much. Over to the chairperson.
Thank you very much, Sister Shi. And thank you to the honorable members of this portfolio of the United Nations and the Commission. We are excited and happy for this invitation to present the annual report 2013-2014 of NEFAS. It's not my day to day of the board. We'll give this opportunity to the executive officer of NEFAS to take us through the whole annual report. And I think we've done our administration to make sure that this annual report is distributed on time and given to the position that the executive officer is going to table before the members has reached your first step of human time. On that floor, I'm handing over to the executive officer to take us through the annual report of this office. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, honorable members, and good afternoon to everyone invited into this session. As the session of the board has indicated, I will take comments through the presentation of the NEFAS annual report for the 2013-2014 financial year. Take comments through the session report, the very works of the report, and then issues, the financial statements, and the financial statements report. But I think it's important to also the high level view, which is the takeaway from this session. This has been the year where NEFA probably experienced a number of strikes, unprecedented number of strikes, various campuses of the country, and there was unprecedented media attention on NEFA, on Maritap, or in fact, the attention was on Maritap and Drew. I think today we've got an opportunity to say what NEFA has, because the media attention was mainly on Maritap and Drew. I think from the introduction of this entity, for 1.5 billion rands to assist students to attain qualifications and universities, and the latter part of this life, also including the SAT colleges, which have now been named Shifted Colleges. It has assisted more than 1.4 million students in the profession. And in the year under review, we assisted 23,000 students at different colleges and about 195,000 students at but then go into the first slide just to briefly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I think we spent some time before the committee on the mandate of NEFA and what it's supposed to do. The next slide is in India, that has been NEFA has made progress in carrying out some of the things contained in this mandate. The board was functional, all the committees were operating, and that improved governance and accountability. The supplementary program to the new student standard model Well, also you say that the phrase one was implemented. This was the year that the new system that NSPAC went live. In the beginning of October 2013, the new system that NSPAC went live to enable the new student standard model. The comprehensive review of policies for IT governance systems, operational, financial, and human resources were also implemented to enable the implementation of the new model. Executive managers were also appointed, and amplified policies were also achieved for the fourth year in a row, since I'm asking one organization has turned around in, after the 2010 display. In terms of the board policies that I indicated, there's functional board, there's in terms of acts, there's agent appointed and corporate members, and board head, five things during the year. There are five subcommittees of the board, the executive committee chaired by the chairperson of the board, Mr. Fokarisa, the financial committee chaired by Mr. Johnson, work and risk committee chaired by Mr. Hughes, the ICT committee chaired by Dr. Brown, and the HR committee chaired by Ms. Martina. In the terms of the confidence of NSPAC, it's to allocate funds for loans and bursaries for the students. In 2013, disbursement increased from 7.7 billion to 8.7 billion, an increase of 1 billion over the 2012 year. The number of students assisted in 2013 increased to 416,174. And that is increased funding received from the Development Education Training and other departments and various other agencies that are contributing to the fund. This is an increase of 32,000 students from the total number of 382,000 students. The National Enterprise aims to develop criteria and conditions for the granting of loans and other services to students in conversation with the minister. In 2013, this money was achieved by laying foundation for the transformation program, preparing a new loan management system to replace the old chapter system that has been in use since 1991, and appointing staff to manage the increasing fund. This has been a focus in the area. There's been a massive increase in number of people appointed, but also increasing the managerial capacity of NSPAC to enable it to deliver on the new money. I will ask you therefore to take us from the to take us to the annual financial statements.
Thank you, sir. When you go to the slide that was presented, that is the annual financial statement, to read the current year under review, we disbursed 8.7 billion this year. But the CEO has already alluded to that, and that represented an increase of 8.6%, that is 2% higher than inflation from the previous year. And that funding was made as follows. It was disbursed to 23 public universities in 7 provinces and 50 TVET colleges in all 9 provinces of South Africa, and the number of university students that were funded was 194,923, and the TVET college student was 93,978. And as we move further in the presentation, the EU has already indicated that since inception, NSPAC has provided 41.5 billion of funding to 2,172 students in the Republic of South Africa. And how the funding was split in this current year under the review of 2013 2014. In the final year program, an amount of 1.1 billion was dispersed to qualifying students receiving colleges, of which that amount represented total bursaries was 1.9 billion. And then the conversion rate was 1.3 billion to 60-40 conversion, and other that comes from other funders represented 2 billion. And when we move further to the statement of financial position, as at the end of the financial year, you will see that our cash position was 1.8 billion, and that the details of that can be found in on 10 pages of the signing of the annual financial statement. And when we move further to the statement of financial position, you will notice that two payments were 649 million, and you find that in on 7 under page 75. And then when you go to student loans, both current and non-current, The current portion of human loan extent was 480 million, and that can be found in 18.6% of the financial statements. And the fair value of the loan was 7.4 million. That will be found in 76 of the final paper. And the long-term portion of the student loan was 6.8 million. That also can be found in 18.76%. And then the other portion of the loan was 8.8. That is the nominal value of the loan was 18.5 million before the valuation. And then we go to the asset that has been between property and equipment and intangibles. There was a carrying amount of 13.4 million in our property, plant and equipment, and that can be found in 3.73%. And the intangibles, the carrying amount was 48.6 million. And the bulk of the intangibles is related to the new student contract model that was implemented or continued to be implemented during the current year, and that can be found in 4 under page 74. And the last portion in our statement of financial position is the payables in 49 page 78 to the relative 7.5 million. And the last portion relating to the financial statements is under the expense. You will see that the operating expenses was 1.8 million. The consulting fee was 5.8 million. That's a huge reduction from the previous year of 22 million. The salaries was 5.8 million. That is in line with the transformation program. And then the transformation program cost us 1.9 million during the current year. Then the audit fee was 9.9 million. The huge increase in audit fees is mainly related to the complexity of auditing a fully implemented financial model by the Auditor General. And then the computers, it was 5.2 million, also in line with the expansion in the organizational structure. And then providence assistance was 4.9 million. And then storage and scaling was 1.4 million.
Coming back to the performance report as part of the annual report, the NDC has got three strategic outcome-related goals. The first one was to have an efficient and effective public entity student financial aid administration, which is more an internal forecast measure. And the broader performance indicator related to that was the entity should receive the unqualified support annually, and that was achieved. The strategy goal, that is strategic objectives, some of the strategic objectives were not achieved during the, and that is to say in the annual report. The second strategy outcome-related goal is to improve access, success and progression to contribute to improving both throughput and pathways. And the personal indicator is to increase total numbers of student loans and bursaries. And that was also achieved with the increase in the number of students funded or an increase of 32,000 from the previous financial year. And the third strategy outcome-related goal was to improve the financial aid environment. In this goal that we have some objective of increasing the pool of available funds, and that was not achieved as intended, and to also expand the number of students by developing policy recommendations for new settlements and other related financial aid innovation. And the performing data was an augmented capital available for disbursement. The matters was an increase in capital available for disbursement of 1 billion rand for set ourselves a target that are much higher than that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, the Chair and the CEO and the CFO for the presentation. I will now open for reflection on the presentation. Yes, Mr. Kassim and Mr. Tumu, Professor Kujoli, and Mr. Shue, and Ms. Mugabe, in that order. Thank you, with your indulgence, please also consider the annual report in addition to the presentation made, because I think the presentation is very superficial, and we should actually look at the detail in the report, contained in the report. Now, Chairperson, I just want to say that I am rather concerned if I turn to page 15 and 16. The three strategic goals are set out there, and clearly the details of the strategic objectives are contained, pre-term objectives are contained in the pages that follow from the 17th page to page 22. But Chair, I would like to ask the CEO and the board chairman, what is of concern is the statement on page 14 says that the performance information of the entity set up on pages 15 to 22 was approved by the board of NSR. And it seems to me that the executive officer is quite content with the details on that. And I just want to focus, first of all, I'm concerned, Chair, because I believe we have to do here with a copy and paste exercise of previous annual reports. And the reason why I'm saying that is if we look at the dates contained in Strategic Goal 1, it refers to dates in the past. It refers to 31 March 2013, we're actually dealing with the report 31 March 2014. It's on page 50, and it is also on page 16. Now, Shepard, I would like to know how that fits in, because essentially, this is a very, very important document. And we can't just have these errata without presenting before this committee corrections on the errata. This is a document that goes out for a public entity, which is in terms of Schedule 3 of the Public Finance Management Act, responsible to account for every case. Now, I have concerns, Chair, because this speaks of recklessness. Chair, and then I want to go to the pre-terminal objectives, page 17. If I calculate the number of pre-terminal objectives for goal 1 is 10, I can calculate 5 achieved. Now we can go into the details whether they have been achieved, because they're not smart principles. Some of them have been partially achieved. Now in my book, it either has been achieved or it's not achieved. And I want to know why we are getting a report of partially achieved. Then if we go to the next page, that is on goal 1. Goal 2, I calculated 6 strategic objectives. 2 or 1 has to achieve. But yet, if we look at the slide presentation soon, if we look at the slide presentation, it has on the slide reported the annual performance report, page 15, it says strategic goal 1 achieved. Lack of statement achieved. Strategic goal 2 achieved. Now you've achieved it if you have achieved all of the predetermined objectives. I'm concerned about that because that is not accurate information. See now, if I go to the strategic goal 3, the same applies. I calculated 4 strategic goals. Fortunately, it was not misrepresented on the slide because it was not achieved. Chair, but on top of it, what I have here is a serious concern for the if we think back at the Auditor General report to the Commission, and what constitutes a sound administration and accurate information. It says you have to be able to rely on the information. It has to be accurate and it has to be reliable. If I look at the AG report, yes, I'm qualified as far as financials are concerned. But the AG has many, many concerns. I mean, I don't want to even go into the detail of the Auditor General concerns, but it's clear. Compliance with legislation. My findings on material compliance with specific matters in key legislation, I think I've the general matters, are as follows. And that is on page 46, thank you. We can go into the details. The lack of the internal control measures. She makes pronouncement or he makes pronouncement on leadership, financial and performance management. I'm concerned. We don't have a body, from what I read in the annual report, that I can feel comfortable with, that they are adequately looking at the detail. So you work with an important instrument such as the student financial aid. You have to be able to rely on the figures, on the facts, etc. Because if this is related to our decision-making, and it's not always that all of us have the time to scrutinize every page of the document, but some of us sometimes do that, and I think it's important. My concern, Jane, question for yourself. From where I sit, I look at the manner itself. You know, they are indicating that they've achieved their goals because they have increased the number of students. It's not because the institution was so good, it was because government voted additional funds. The issue is that it's reached the right people. The students who are supposed to get those financial aid program assistance, have they received it? What measures were in place? Now, Chair, my final remark is this. I don't think the strategic objectives actually support performance. And we will have to encourage them to go back to the drawing board to say, in each of the strategic goals, develop the right predetermined objectives so that we can feel comfortable that this institution, without expanding on staff, and Chair, I have to just come back on staff and ACOM. If I see that we have a growing bureaucracy and, you know, the additional new student-centered model that they will have, they will have to employ more people. But it seems from where I sit like a real significant top-heavy institution at present, with 24 people earning just about 30 million rand per year, and the next layer, which is essentially the professionals, earn quite significantly lower amounts. Now, we're going to grow a bureaucracy again. The issue here is, are we getting value for money from this, and are the students getting value for money? Those who really are the learning students. So I must go to my serious question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Stephen. Next.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to refuse everything that Karen Borussia has said because I think she's got a spot on. Just looking at the report, Chairperson, and myself, I won't speak on behalf of the proposed committee, I think the proposed committee itself needs to decide. But for myself, as a member of the proposed committee, I am deeply disappointed. I'm disappointed because, number one, considering the number of issues that we've had throughout the year, as acknowledged by the in the beginning of the presentation, we've absolutely got no details on the objectives that were not met. When you look at the annual report itself, it's very, very detailed. And I'll give you some examples. Even those that are supposed to be partly met, you talk about the central applications being partly met. Now, we know for a fact that there were a number of the applications that were made centrally on the student-centered model, running into over 50,000 for one institution, that went missing. So do you just not report on things like that, or do you not keep relevant details considering that this is supposed to be a new strategic project that we are to convert institutions across the country on, and they must take it on our word, well, we've met this, we haven't met this, whatever the case may be. But don't take my word, because I'm going to quote on the audit in general. We found that a total of 23% of indicators were not well defined, and that 29% of the indicators were not well verifiable. So how exactly does NASPAS, with its measure board and measure salaries, and management, management at the top, how exactly does it then decide to come and say, well, this objective has been met, that objective has been met, when there is no technical aspects in order to verify this particular aspect has been met. Now, at the end of the presentation was over, now we're going to hear about a good story. What has NASPAS done as opposed to what it hasn't done? But what we don't get from the presentation itself was that from the 17 planned targets, 13 were not achieved. And if I go through the objectives and I translate myself,
But to the end of the objectives, if you take it across the different, each different area, we're not achieving it. Well, that's not counting the others that are supposed to be passing next. So, yeah, I mean, as a portfolio committee member, I don't feel as if from this report, from the presentation, we are in a position to exercise our role here today. I think we would be doing a great injustice to those that must be served, society that must be served by the public entity which is receiving billions of rands from the church. And I want to propose, Chairperson, that just be rectified, that we can play our role greatly. I think we've got an experience of other reports that have been done very, very well, where we can be honest with one another on specific aspects. If I just had to go for example, let me just divert very quickly. Let's look at TVET College. Now we know from what the General's report that 100% well, what there's a serious concern with the way that the funds are being disbursed at TVET College. And I raise this point on what Tim was saying. It's not necessarily is the money going out. It's whether the money is going out in a manner it ought to go out, the people it ought to go out, and is society getting money for itself. And clearly, that's not the case of TVET colleges. Clearly, it's not reported in this statement, and it's not reported completely and, within the report itself. So there's a clear issue at play. If I had to go into each one, and I'm going to ask one of you specific questions, because I'm not sure what that's going to be the issue of the outcome of my proposal to your question. I want to ask around the survey that was done at UWC and CQT regarding student satisfaction on the ESPAC system. What are the outcomes of the survey? Did you just have in my school survey? How is that taking place? Why were those institutions chosen and others were not chosen? What is the status of the student-centered model on other institutions that clearly not been having? What are those concerns? I want to bring in, for example, UGT, where there were massive concerns with the result that effectively many students are not college anymore. I then want to ask around to give the portfolio committee very clearly, and I think here's where some of the problem lies, very, very clearly on how the system, or the people to introduce or implement the system, and the company involved, how would that come? So, which are the companies involved, what are the process, how is that done, who are the individuals involved, as I did at the ratio of equity, were they part board members involved? And I want to get an honest answer from those that are here to account, and accounts not saying particular, because there's clearly a lot of things that are not being reported. I think it's important for the board members to understand why they're not being reported, and for us to understand why is it that even though we have sources of funds, we can be so negligent with the way that we carry out our responsibility. Because clearly if we have a source of funds, we need to stretch in every single rand for those people that are in need, for all students that are in need. And then I want to ask around the transformation program. There was 90 million rand that was made available by National Treasury for transformation program. I want some feedback on that. I haven't seen anything on that. I want some feedback as to how did that money spent? Where is that account that I might have missed it? And what are the outcomes of that? Well, have we received payoff of that? And has it transferred into any real outcomes? And then last, I want to ask, what is the plan? Sorry, it's not last. What is the plan around these issues? And what are those students that have been assisted? Because I haven't seen any numbers on the supposedly scarce skills. Okay? And have we had any targets around that? Do we know how many students are actually in need around that? And because here this is something that, I mean, it is not an obligation to measure skills, even though that's just not going to assist with others. So I want a little bit more information around that. And then I want to speak about the money from CITES. There are 390 million rand for bursaries from CITES. I think if we're looking forward rather than just looking backwards as well, the CITES, to your software position, have an unbelievable amount of money at their disposal. And
Maybe it's just my opinion, but I think 390 million rand going towards groceries, which are supposed to be strategic for those particular sectors, I think that's very low. That's basically mine. If you're talking about amounts after 12 billion rand, that's a combined compound budget. So that's my general comments, Chairperson, but just in conclusion, I don't feel comfortable that we're able to be in a position to do our job properly as members of parliament and members of the public committee. And I think the opening statement of Honourable on the strategic goals is very, very disturbing on how that affects that. It might be a little bit of an investment because it's going out to the public. But I want us to have some sort of way forward on how we can be in a better role to hold ministers accountable to their performance plans and to their strategic plans. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kassin. Next.
Thank you. Yes. I will not emphasize on what was said by the honorable members, but really the quality, the kind of report that we watch, it's not what we expected, and it really makes it difficult for us to work with it. It shows a lot of cut and paste, and we have questions, and we don't really know whether to ask them now, what is the future, what is going to happen. But I can just throw in just the two questions that I have. One is on the loan recovery system. On page 22, on the student credit model, 3.2, from the report, it is evident that NSFAS has a challenge of conducting debtors whose loans are due for repayment, resulting in no monthly recovery. If you look at the number of percentage of beneficiaries of NSFAS, you realize that they can assist in expanding the fund. My question is, what plans are in place to increase monthly repayment from debtors? The second one is on procurement. Again, it is evident that goods from the report, there were goods and services that were purchased, that were procured to the rate of 154,000 without required price quotations as required by certain regulations. The question, why did NSFAS procure goods and services without the price quotations as required by law? Another one would be on NSFAS, as my colleague, the honorable member, has also had a question. As a committee, we're concerned about the issue of the airtime. If I can get progress on that, because it was said that most of the students on this fund are from historically disadvantaged communities. So we had a concern of accessing everything through the airtime. If I can know what is happening around that issue. Lastly, NSFAS, the chairman of the board, to ask for our attention, the issue of student funding is a make or break issue. If we do not get it right, the entire system will collapse. I think when you come here to account, please be clear about it, because we're looking at what is happening in our country, around us, in the universities, and we are concerned as a community, but we don't have access, we cannot do anything, we rely on you to give us accurate information. Thank you.
Next, thank you very much. I'll just make quite a few exciting points. it seems to me, in listening to the onion and all of them agreeing with much of what they say, that really what we need to see from you is some redefined targets. And those redefined targets need to be smart and all of that stuff. But they also need missiles to show that take seriously pursuing projects that are good. It is too easy, I think, for us to say it's the university's fault, or it's the human system of the student-centered model. I think it looks like that you have to take responsibility for trying to remedy those projects. And we do know the arguments. This university didn't apply for extending to 7 million or whatever, therefore those students didn't get it, therefore they're righteous. But that should not be enough. That should not be allowed to happen. And whatever universities might say about academic freedom, this is not an academic freedom issue, this is a financial management issue. And in my mind, I understand much get involved in how universities are managing these things quicker than they are going to get involved by through the transfer of student status model, which I think is 50 years to go by, it's going to take years. So there needs to be some other interim measure to address the problem of universities fast. So we do not see the same round projects next year as we see next year, and we do not see our students who are sitting there in November, October, was 1 month short, and it's near the end of the year. It's absolutely shocking. And I'm afraid it's hard on the stakes, I think, because you guys have always believed that, you know, you've delivered the money, the university must extend it. But I think the closer partnerships with universities are required, and I think the target must be reduced to reflect that. Then I have a couple of other questions. Why is there a 1.8 million surplus, or 1.18, I think it was, 1 million surplus, except seat note 37 or whatever, and I looked at note 37 and it doesn't really make it any clearer. So we would like to explain that. Taking time for teachers, yes, I'm sure there is more money in teachers. And I agree with my colleagues that they've got millions, but it could also be damaging them if we just raise their funds because we're short of money and miss that. How seriously and carefully was it considered by a group that the money from teachers would be used to develop damage to the teacher's mission in any way? It was something thought through. And then on the BTEC, it's quite amazing actually if you think of it, that students in TVET colleges, many of which are failing, are corrupt, are badly managed, and are getting bad audits from the auditor general. Those students are getting money, but these students aren't. And they are students doing a higher level of fuller kind of degree. So it seems to be a major inconsistency and something that needs to be addressed. When the department presented its annual report yesterday, they mentioned that there was some forensic audits going on around the staff management of the university. This was just a passing mention, but I'd like to know a little bit more about what are these forensic audits, where are they being done, and why, and will we see the results? And my last point, I think your indicators, your new indicators, if you are going to do them, must include students, get bursaries. Fine, that's what the one is your indicator. Lots of people get bursaries. That must include they get sufficient bursaries and they get them on time, and the question of ongoing and almost apparently insoluble student engagement is a bit. Students have to carry over debt from the previous year, and then they're sitting debt for the whole year, and they've got to carry over the double debt into the next year, and eventually they just live in debt for the rest of their lives, need to be addressed. And then my last point is your data collection. I think my colleague will really know that point. The Auditor General means that you have no effective set to collect debt, and that seems very worrying. I thought you did have effective set to collect debt, and it's actually collect quite a lot of debt, so I'm not sure what that's referring to. Thank you.
Thank you,
Professor
Rudy. Next to
Mr. Schwella, or you can meet with our new. Thank you. That's it. With our goal is to detail and express a clear sentiment that I fail in that expression. I also feel that the presentation has been adequate. It lacks detail, which will facilitate us to understand almost everything. Be that it may, we noted from the presentation that the staff has been increased or emphasis in appointed more staff. Now, my question would be, be that it may be changed, that the increase in our personnel translates to better output. If you can please explain that. And also, following through from what Honorable Nkulu has said with regard to the irregular expenditure as indicated on page 93 of the report, was there any disciplinary action taken against employee or employees to engage the regular expenditure? If yes, what are the nature and outcome of the disciplinary action? And if no disciplinary action was taken, why? And I also want to talk on the issue of gap recovery. And it's not as good as issuing out loans, but somehow it fails to recover most of the money that is burdened. Therefore, I would like to know whether NSPAS has got a data base for all the students that are already. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Suela. Honorable
Member
Dunning.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman. My concern is that really when you look at the performance, it is very clear that the entity during the period of the year did not perform very well. Because out of 7 times that they assessed, they only achieved only one. And 2 partial achieved only, and then 4 they did not achieve. What I want to know is that do they have any plan in place to address this core economy? Because clearly this is the cause of all the anger that we are seeing in all the universities. And then number 2 is about the new model. I just want to know whether they have already introduced it. Is it working? And how many students did they fund it through that model in 2014? Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Our So I'd like the Chair to talk to us about why the inadequate report and why the cut and paste. Are you really doing work as the government body of NEPA? Because most of the honourable members spoke, they picked up the cut and paste issue. So we have because that brings to our very means you have not done your work as expected. Now, if you can't respect this policy, then how do you do your work when you're not there? So, we'll then wait for your response.
Thank you very much to the honorable members' questions. I would like the question of cutting rates to be answered in detail by the executive officer so that we can build a proper story in that particular case. Can I say upfront the question that we very respect the portfolio committee. The question of our report is inadequate. It is by no means as to disrespect this committee. And of course, if there are very serious steps, as an oversight post of this process, we are very prepared to do a work. And I think that the accounting officer is going to detail sufficient the issue of the alleged candidate in terms of report so that we can bring up something out of the right indicated area. But having said so, I think I will have some of their questions
because there are other patients coming from this portfolio commission. Whereas the teacher is aged very disappointing. One of the advice is that next class must get involved in student affairs. And I think there's an oversight only of this. We agree, and we fully agree, because time and again, we have been so concerned in terms of waiting for the report coming from the institutions under this class, where we cannot ourselves get involved. Hence, this transformation model. I think that the transformation model is nothing to see as we speak at this point in time. We are still piloting to drive institutions. There are six universities and six FC colleges that are involved in this pilot. And we hope to learn out of this pilot in terms of growing this out. And the intention of the pilot is that we are to respond to the advice that NSPAS must get involved. I know that the member concerned also indicated that it will take a very, very long time. We are beginning to see that this is not a pilot. It's a phase one approach. And therefore, we want this approach as soon as we see the good results to be replicated to the other institutions, because we have got a technology in terms of responding to this particular challenge that we have in South. We also appreciate the comment by the Auditor General in terms of the leadership, and we took that as concerning us as the board in terms of that leadership needs to start from us in terms of providing an oversight. And we are really rectifying any gaps that have been there in the year and view in terms of support. I don't know whether I said it correctly. That is, the board members get salary, do not get salary. Okay. Because I wanted to pick on that point. Because we not start off for that two salaries. We play an oversight there. But suppressing, I'm going to ask the executive officer to start with the DCG current and try to build up on this particular.
Thanks to the honourable member. I want to deal with the first question for the current and assess the tone of the rest of the answers. The annual report from page 15 of the annual report, which is a document that is prepared by management signed off by the board and reviewed by the Auditor General, has got the dates that have been talking about that the happening place. Let me just catch the scenario where those things come from. The service quality comes from an oil service plan. And there are problems with that from an oil service plan. For instance, in the cycle, you don't change it in the middle of the year. You know, you have to keep we're not allowed, you know, as an entity to just change the service plan. And we move the product and we have to work with what we have. And those things come from an oil service plan. And the service plan, for the benefit of manufacturers, you should not have had those days in such a sense. I've never gone with an individual to translate that as if it still is required that that should be done in the future. So how we're able then to draw service objectives and say, this we're going to continue as an entity. It's not a cycle of data supply. It's part of the cycle that does, how the cycle works. And the other general is already said that our service is then the problem is our service then in our system. And that's what needs and will improve. But unfortunately, you can only improve a year later than the system. Unfortunately, the system of reporting that we had, it has flaws in the service plan, and what the general in his report has said that the setting of objectives
at Meshkat to not comply with the Shabbat program. And that is the point that was taken upon and improved me. Just discussed a new strategic planning framework, which is in line with the new term of parliament. Because when the new term of parliament started, we had to start a new strategic plan. And all the scores that were in the first cycle of strategic plan have now been corrected. That's exactly the planning factor that we have coming in. That's why we have what appears to be patentation in terms of the strategic oriented goals. And the two questions about sound administration, accurate information at NSF. And I want to try as much as I can include the annual report and answer questions. Well, the annual report has a set of information that you can, the annual report goes through a robust process in terms of management, board, external auditors before it is the then same parliament. And the information that is in the annual report is credible. That I can put my head on to offer the information in the annual report is credible. In terms of the presentation, we have not taken a lot of items into annual report because we're moving from the premise that we don't have to get that case to the committee, what we already given to the committee in the form of this document, which is the official annual report. And anything else was just trying to highlight a few issues that are in this document, which is the official annual report of the NDC for the year annual report. I will go into issues of performance. The last performance issues with NDC, I think the annual report is here in terms of the target that we met, and from page 17 up to page 22 of the annual report. That's the annual performance information. Of course, there is an issue about the report of the AG in terms of how we even drafted our target in the first place. But at the end of the year, we could not go back and change our target and make them smarter after the fact. It's just how the target was. There's a report on what we have, which was, you know, I found to be flawed in some sense by the work, etc. And that we take with the team as an entity. In terms of then, performance, we see ourselves as part of government. Therefore, some of the targets, for instance, we think that in terms of definitely some value for the new year, if I may pinpoint one person, I'll probably say it was the efforts of the GC to get us more funding in terms of transmission of the NSF that we must get more funding. Well, not my efforts anyway. In fact, if I pinpoint one person, I'll say the Director General of Higher Education helps a lot in terms of that process. But this is something that is our own understanding sphere and as a report on that funding has increased by so much. Not just only saying this was the effort of a network and entity, but something that has been part of the kind of session that we put in place. On the issue of central application was launched during the year under review, but most of the reporting around the new model will happen in financial year. We only had about 2 months of the new system in the financial year under review. The bulk of the new system work and payment of allowances to students or paid on time, all those things were budgeted in the following financial year, 2014-2015. But that's the first year of the implementation of the new model. And I should say about the issue of 50,000 applications that are already lost. From the side of the NSF, this issue of 50,000 applications lost, we cannot find any facts to back up these applications that are lost from the side of the NSF. We have been speaking to various people, but there's no information that we have 50,000 applications that are lost at the NSF. In fact, to the contrary, on the needs of students, we actually would need more money to find more needs of applicants that could apply and maybe apply for funding, but unfortunately there's not enough money. So that there is now a surplus of money because there were 60,000 applications that were lost. In terms of the number of applicants, I think we should put this in context also. In terms of the number of students that get funded at the NSF, in a year, the NSF funds about 30,000 students at the NSF. Then, you know, it is in the 50,000 is much higher than the number of students that get funded at the NSF. On the issue of
the study that you conducted at the WC and CQT. Before, when we went to the product to develop the new model, we then said, because we are not seeing a new system which is extra-system, which is the system, let's have a small control pilot in the university that is close to NSFAS office, and we speak up with WC and CQT. And then once we had that small control pilot, then after that, like, how the office here is using the system, how they define it. The commentary of students that we use in that system was telling you the system looks like something that could work. And that is the basis of us now launching the SR system as part of the rollout of the first year, which is 2014 at GUT, UNISA and the National Development Metropolitan University. And then we did that small pilot at UWC and CGUT. On the part of the appointment of service providers for the new model, service providers were appointed in fact in the last financial year and last week financial year that we are working on in previous financial year. There was a tender that was issued by NSFAS, dedicated service providers appointed to implement the system. There was the main contractor that was appointed was the consulting, and that main contractor had subcontractors to implement the new system. I'll ask the CEO to also attend on the money that we spent on the transformation program. In terms of the knowledge cover, you will notice also in terms of the strategic objectives that have been met. In terms of our plan of coverage, we have not met the coverage plan. We also shared with the committee earlier when we met with them by our offices about some of the things that we're trying to put in place to improve the loan recovery environment. Only the delay expenditure that has been carried without obtaining the support. This is something that the National Board, the administrative management, that this is something that they have to deal with professionally. And in this case, the employees are going through it not again as a result of the delay expenditure. I should also alert the committee that as NSFAS sort of comes a long way in terms of the regulations, I think we're coming from the region of millions of UCK. In 1 year, we incurred a expenditure of 22 million rand. And this has been concerted management efforts to make sure that this thing goes down to zero. Unfortunately, there were still things that were flowing from the previous year that ended up at about 2,000 rand of irregular expenditure during the year under the thing. The expert's question about airtime. As part of pilot's phase one implementation, there are some lessons that you have to learn in the system. And one of them is about zero rating the system to students. And we agreed on that principle that the system to student must be zero rated. The student must not pay anything to transfer on the system. And we now have to the service providers to say, they need to work out a mechanism where the costs will be paid to NSFAS, but when the students are there, they don't have to pay anything. It's like almost an audit kind of number that someone calls a telecom and then go and be there the person that is being formed. And that has been worked on for years towards implementation. In terms of our role, on protests and spikes and what we can do as NSFAS in the interim as we implement the new model. I think that's a welcome advice from the committee that we must develop something that is working in the interim, because we almost have these situations where we have extremely lot of things run by the investors and the new model is going to run. But we're seeing more and more that even in the investors where we're not running the system, we're being called upon to answer various questions about what is happening. This morning, we had a discussion with some of the people that involved with the student leaders, and they'll tell you that what happened is, you know, in fact, with every protest action at the university, we have NSFAS name on it. But that was the interest in NSFAS is because of media likes NSFAS. Once you mention NSFAS, then you will get media attention on that protest action. But what we also trying to do is work more with the vice chancellor, because
they are closer to the action, they can be able to give us information, but also communicate with us much more actually, because we find that in the case of leaders, so there are some people are just miscommunicating, they don't believe that it has happened. And between us and the management of the university, we knew what was going on, that students believe something like that, and they were going to the people we just talked on the 1.8 billion surplus, and I think the committee again discussions of that. The end of the financial year falls right between the middle of an academic year. Therefore, as ministers, we cannot afford not to have cash in the bank account during an academic year. We're going to keep on paying procedures during an academic year. And therefore, when the financial year ends end of March, we are right then in the middle of an academic year, and we are to pay for students at that time. That's why when you look at our financial statement at the end of the year, as a snapshot, for that day, there will be cash on it, but we keep on paying for students. We cannot afford not to be without cash for any day during the course of the academic year. The report of research and students, I'll probably ask my colleagues from the department to assist them. Part of the dilemma that we had in the whole model was about how we measure the efficiency of the distribution of students, while the distribution of students is managed by the university themselves. But then, as we were then migrated to the new model, we then said, okay, we're now taking over the distribution function. In our new analysis plan that we presented to the committee, it is now measured in terms of efficiency of distribution. How quickly do students get their money after they have signed up? From that new model, that we now position as part of the new model. But this is all system, some significant in terms of how we begin to measure and take responsibility. It's something that we're pushing universities to. I specialize in universities. When you pay the money, they need to take a student account within 7 days of their days. That's a measure to have in the industry. But in terms of us fixing the measure, it's a measure that we are unable to measure because it depends on the university systems, which are very different from university to university. The collection, the people would also talk on the collection side. And the staff ministries and data should link this to cost also of employees. As part of the change, we then said we're going to align ourselves with the public sector in case. And that had a number of benefits. One of the benefits was we did not have to have our own separate banking process for small entities and then buying employees for salaries. We followed the public sector banking process on the public sector account. We just follow that process. I've indicated that we have to create management capacity, and that's why you see that we have resources in this. And on page 5 of the annual report, we see the number of employees, the salary band, and how much they get paid, and what's the average for that salary band, and what the total average costs at MSRs. And that is very aligned to the GPSA guidelines. Whether that is resulted in increased performance, part of the new demand of the new model was to give up our ICT capacity. We have to employ specialists in the space of ICT. Because the new model is going to be driven, is going to be high ICT driven system. And therefore we have to get those things, but also the capacity of management. We came here, I think, a year ago to the portfolio committee with digital and home management in the industry. And we are reliant and heavily reliant on management. And we are built in this committee. And you must go back and employ your own people because you cannot come here and rely on the title. And we are now coming back, we have now invited people for paying them. And I hope this is not another thing you think again for now inviting people and paying them through the payroll system. The personal question that I have already answered, we're not very good well guy in terms of reaching our own target, but there's something that I never like to have to ask. That is an institution we've got, it says that we must get money to students. You know, when all else is said and done, we must make sure that
You know, when you receive money from funders or donors, that money must get to Stephen. And that is the kind of that is something that the institution will not compromise on.
Thank you, Mr. Mathieu. I will just talk on three issues that I mentioned. The 98 million of the transformation project, the bigger chunk of it that is 8 million. If you look at note 3 and 4, you will see that part million is related to the hardware that is under property planning equipment, and the 57 million is related to the software for the loan management system. And obviously, because the transformation project was started in the financial year of 2011-2012, 18 million was spent on consultants for 2012-2013, and this current year for 2013-14, we spent 2 million. And the rest of the balance will be paid through as the transformation rate will continue to consultants for the financial year 2014 and 15. But the bigger chunk, more than 60%, went to the exhaust system and the infrastructure. And around the 1.8 billion cash, the EO has already cast a bit on it. But what really led to NESPAS having such a huge amount of money at the end of the financial year was the funds that we received from the NSF, the billion that we received in this academic year of 2014. That came through around January or February. There were recoveries as well of around 2 million from the Australian letters and other outstanding funds that we were trying to discuss in the university. That's what, that is the makeup of the 1.8 billion. And then around the data, I think the question that has been raised is quite important. But we adopted the data recovery plan, we presented it to the relevant committee and so forth. And the plan is split in a following manner. We targeted the provincial departments. We've already received funds from the Limpopo province. We made a presentation to the KZN legislature around the recovery of debt. We met up with us, the EO and the CRO met up with us around 3 weeks back to come get the data, to be able to verify our data. And we called upon to the private sector, particularly the financial sector. We've had invitations and said with the members of ASISA, ASISA is Association of Investment in South Africa, and we presented to the SR committee where companies like Old Mutual, PPS and so on sit, and we've spoken to the HR department. We've already had meetings with Sanam and Old Mutual around the recovery of that, and all of them are quite positive and are willing to be crossed measures. So that's really all around the transformation, the disaster, and the cash flow. Thank you.
Okay.
I heard your ambition about cut and paste, but I wanted us to respond better in that particular case. I think as the board, we can never allow the situation such kind of an process and get to this portfolio committee. We will try our best to do that. And we will continue dealing with such issues to make sure that they are not coming to the portfolio committee as well. I think such an attempt is to answer all the questions that were posed by the current members. Thank you.
Right, Honourable Member, you have now received the responses on the questions that you raised. Are there follow-up questions? Madam Kibir.
Thank you, Kibir.
Supported by Mr. Tekani. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I think it is noted what we were saying. But I must say, I find it a pity that it was not indicated to the committee of the council, because clearly you don't contain in your goals deadlines, and you keep them throughout different annual reports. It's just one of those basic things that you don't use. You do it in terms of timeline, where you want to expect what, in which quarter or whatever. So I mean, that's a major concern. Secondly, I think, as you have admitted, you really need to go back to the drawing board as far as your the formulation of the predetermined objectives are concerned. Chair, but then I just wanted to clarify on one issue, and that was funded and unfunded posts. That's page 36 of the annual report. If I look at the top management program, if I look at the second bar, it speaks of the number of employees in the top management, that was in 2012-2013, and then the number of approved posts were 4. And then there is an indication that there were 6. Does that mean that 2 of those posts were not funded upfront? And if so, is that not consideration of the Public Finance Management Act? I do believe that the Public Finance Management Act is specifically the section on the role of accounting officers is very clear. That in cases where you overstep and exceed the budget, you have to request prior permission or that upset. Because I am concerned, and we have actually reached on to earlier concerns raised. Effective management, yes, it's good. We cannot argue against the appointment of the right people in positions instead of making issues consultants. But then we really need to have people who will contribute to a better organization that is well managed, people accept accountability, and there is consequence management, because that is one of the crucial issues that the Auditor General says. The problem in the public sector is there is no consequence management. Failure to do your job. And in fact, you know, it is just always refreshing to go through the PFMA again. If any accounting officer ever feels that the burden and responsibility is too big, they can actually say, sorry, but, you know, I'd rather not proceed. That is in terms of getting copies of it. Public Finance Management Act, a very long paragraph, chapter 5. Now, I just wanted to have a better understanding of that, and then to say, please, when we raise serious concerns and when we are pushing this institution and this entity, the intention is to make people perform better. And I don't think we will conduct our own oversight responsibility as members of Parliament, which is all signed an oath, if we don't do that. We've been appointed, we've been elected to oversee and to improve sustainability. And this sector in which we serve is such a sensitive sector, that is the future. If we cannot invest the money in such a way that more and more have access to deserving students, then we are failing our duty. And we will be accused if we stand aside and see that people's futures are simply just going down the drain, and there's insurrection in the country, and it's growing as students, student bodies and at university. Chairperson, I want to make that point, and I just want to say to the executive officer, I think if this sort of thing happens, and I don't know where he was when the previous report was compiled, and why those dates were contained in the goals then, I don't know who's responsible for the past, but then it's required a note up front to say to the committee, please note this, this is the position. And I hope that they will understand that we will scrutinize the documentation with a magnifying glass going forward. Thank you.
Chair, I think the concern for all the members was that we not receive MS Pass today for the first time. We went to their head office and we raised issues there with them, and when they give an annual report, personalized of them, start with all these critical issues that are topical issues in the nation, and it really doesn't help to bring the press, because the issue of NAFCAS being at the core of protests and problems that we're having were not that raised by the press, it was raised by students, it was raised by universities. Our impression as a portfolio committee was NAFCAS is a very structure that must resolve problems that we are having of education. somehow things are not really proper. Now, I do accept that you say there's a pilot study, but you did like Jimmy say, back from the work where I think that should have been what we need to report. Don't ask until we don't wait for us to ask questions. Because in other words, if we didn't ask questions when it's out of our hands, that's the question we get will not bother. It should have been the main subset matter of your report, because these are letters that you raised in the other case. These are letters that we made when we need each and every university in the Jutta, University of Technology of Nagan, and Forte. All the universities that have started this is just for the issues that they have resolved. I don't think it is special. The president is talking about this time and this is simply because direct from the was wrong. So I think it should have dominated, it should have been the core of your reporting. And if you said to us, this was the issue of aligning academic deal with financial aid, the issue of student being paid fully, those type of issues, and you said to us, the way we try to resolve all these issues that you raised, we're changing, we're transforming, and we already have put into place a pilot study, and we hope, in fact, it looks like indications that the pilot study is going well, so we're going to change the way our model of doing things, that research is like us. But that's to be totally silent, and that's sort of it as why we have indicated to you our concern. This is, I think, what has put off, right from the beginning, the portfolio committee. But I'm not saying, well, it shows that you've got to change your world for the good. You've got to show concern. You've got to show that even if funds are allocated by universities, indirectly, if it is happening, you are concerned and you are trying to influence changes to make sure that there is stability in education. This is another one comment I wanted to say.
Well, thank you very much for your comment. I just want to check if there is no other question. Well, for my side, all right.
Chairperson, in previous presentations, the concerns highlighted by the Audit General were usually actually a major component of the presentation. Now, that is seriously lacking in this presentation before us. And I was wondering if we both asked you to obtain a specific undertaking from Airbus. How do they intend to address the serious compliance deficiencies contained in the audited annual report? We have to, as a committee, be able to incorporate that when we compile our BRRR report. We usually call it the BRRR, the short report. But we need to have that so that we know they are going to focus on correcting such serious deficiencies identified in the aging report. Thank you.
All right. I think the guidelines for administration and management of NFR loans and business is a challenge to colleges and universities. And they are funds not claimed by colleges. Now, what I would like to know, what is your intervention strategy? Because you must worry if money is not going to make successful. You should be the first one, because you're doing it in your financial management on a monthly basis and a quarterly basis. So what is your intervention strategy? Because to me, we all need to be committed to this radical change and social economic change. So if you see things that are not happening, you're supposed to come in and come up and come with the area. So, can you tell us how much was not paid, and which colleges and universities did not pay, and what have you done about it? Because you don't want to come here and say people did not pay. You are also expected as a commitment as Radha said, to become proactive. So what have you done? Now, because on page 91 of the report, there are loans that are enforced and is money owed by dropout students. How many students are involved and what is your, do you have a recovery plan? So that we at least satisfy ourselves on that one. And if not, how do you hope to recover this money? Because some of us were approached by old students who said, I think NetHealth needs to strengthen its strategy around this area because he started working and he worked for a long time before NetHealth rose to request for the students to take back the money that was loaned to the student. I mean the student himself. I said for a long time, until I think it's him who contacted NetHealth to say that for them. But then he definitely came back money. On page 54, on non-current assets, there is an amount owed by institutions. What led to this? Of course, the department did not meet the target on the number of first-time entering students. And the reason was that national funding was inadequate. Does NetHealth have records on the number of students who applied and met the criteria but are not funded? And what's your plan moving forward upon this one? Because remember every year we expect new entries into the system. Of course, there was no response on the forensic audit that was requested by the department. We would like to hear more about it because all Maybe you should do it as a university staff to here. And wait for the report, and then show it again. But I'm sure that the information that you can share with us on why the forensic audit, I'm talking now, not to the officials, I'm talking to the accounting authority, which is the board. Why? Because the moment you hear forensic audit, it triggers the thinking that there is corruption, fraud and corruption. In terms of good government, we accept and wish to have a PFMA, we accept that there should be, you should have a risk management. I think to the risk management manager who would deal with all risks, including development of a fraud prevention strategy. So that we are able to avoid this, because already it does put your reputation at stake. It talks about you. So how I go to support, but you must remember, as we deliver services to the royal community, the community must also trust us. Now, the more we get this, the more we're going to affect the trust that the community has between us and them. And you see, these projects, they are about also around this area. Trust. There's the trust that has mistrust. So for example, even if today you don't reject the money, they no longer have trust. What happens? So the accounting authority must explain to us so that we understand exactly what is happening, whether are they on top of the situation, why the forensic audit. You know, anyone who would authorize this would have carefully applied his money. Even if we talk about the assumption, so this forensic audit would then validate the assumption. Alright, of course, the leadership. There's a lot of questions raised on the leadership. That's management. I see leadership resting squarely on the shoulders of the accounting authority. And our view is that actually, I don't want to blame this one. I'm also, you know, I want to avoid your professor not mind when you say somebody's record and make it your pleasure. I've taken this from the Auditor General's report before I'm taken to court for this. right, that the oversight was not effective in this accompanying. That's what I said. These are professionals and highly trained on business matters and acting independently without being influenced by anyone of us. And we kind of agree with it. But the report that we got, you have the number of questions pertaining to you. They're talking to some dissatisfaction, some discomfort, and unhappiness on the way in which NEPAS is managed. And the first time I'm sure in this, please correct my subject to correction. We have so many projects, and all of those projects are pointing to the ethnic part. What is the problem? You see, if your leaders are not able to go on and watch for us, on your own and start analyzing this and understanding solutions. Look at your solutions. I hear when you meet with NEPAS, open and trust is there. It's also a problem to entrance. It's not running up to the solution. So we have a problem, and we can't. I think the honourable member there was correct when he said, next time, okay, maybe I should take it from education, which was described as an apex, a priority, which every day, when we as an interact with everybody and also with the politics, all the other stakeholders, confirms that it is at the center of this radical social transformation, social economic transformation of the country. Every day, when I think about it, you can see it waiting. And then, the honorable members who knew their said, never to the make or break of that. And we cannot afford to have weak management. We cannot afford to have good management. But this is about taking us forward, it's to take us back. And it will be so wrong. And when you are sitting or sleeping, think about it, whether you think this is a positive and progressive contribution to this nation building, to come. How can we take money available? Now, all of a sudden, even if I go to my daughter's money, all of a sudden, there's so many projects. We're about to have a question, and the way she needs this money, you can show the social club, because we're in the policy audience, coming into play. It can't be. I think we must go back and reflect. And so how do you want to manage this and ask this government to change this nation to break our heart? Not about us, not about this party, as much as about taking, making a contribution, a minimal contribution that will change this country to break our heart and make us in the respected community by all the other nations of the world. Now, on your unqualified audit opinion, I heard you talking with confidence. We have continued to admit it from where I am. Oh yeah, after every unqualified audit opinion, you will be expected to come up with an action plan to turn around the unqualified to a clean audit. And last year was the year of the clean audit. Now, I'm sure you say we weren't happy with your confidence in the unqualified, because if you do exactly what is expected of you, that action plan, and implement it to the data, you will be able to say to us today, so we want that to happen. If we talk to efficiency of running the church here now, efficiency around revenue, revenue management, non-compliance with your checking aid. Now, management has to make sure that there is compliance all the way. So there is a measure on your non-compliance with section 51, subsection 1, subsection B, and subsection I of the PFMA and the special regulation. Now, governance is about balancing performance and compliance. Now, if you can't comply, if you break the law, what do you do? Management must prove to us that it is capable, and this is where we're going to see your capability. Now, on failure to achieve your set target, we as a committee see it as tantamount to poor performance. You cannot plan to fail. We have a plan. We plan, and we not plan for the sake of convincing or meeting the target. Especially if you look at your target, but when you look at you are shown, you know, you are people who really should be on top of the situation. So everything is going to make sure that we do those but the implementation will not be done to the letter. But also in control, and so we complain about it's monitored on a monthly basis and a quarterly basis, and maybe 6 monthly basis. You know, as we move towards the end of the financial year. So she put emphasis on monthly monitoring and quarterly monitoring. That will assist the accounting authority to emphasize on those targets that have not been met and make sure that the management, the official meets those targets. So there should be close monitoring by the accounting authority, which we not seen presently, and then we'd like to see a serious improvement there. Of course, in accuracy, performance report, that has been repeated several times. You know that the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa insists on accurate information being given to the public and timely intervention. That's the Constitution. I've been talking about that. I mean, in that area, we are living with. If we can improve, we will really appreciate it. It can assist those families to take this nation to greater hands. Alright, I think these are the questions that are really and comments that we love to put across to the account authority of NESFAS. Alright, on the mandate here, Bukelela College, of course we met with Bukelela College and we also learned that it is not paying money to the tune of 12 million in this current financial year. But why have we done that about it? Because we are supposed to be worried and we are supposed to have made a follow-up on them and calling them to check on what they are trying to do, which is money that are provided in this financial year so that they can use in this financial year. Because my worry is maybe things are going to be good in this financial year. Might not be more but in this one. I'm sure you have that this work is going to work today. Come to me at the bottom. We're going to have a challenge today. Of course, this man was supposed to be sent by the 30th of June. Now, I think I'm repeating myself on that professor. What is next for me? Because you cannot be pointing to that. Well, the pointing of the 3 points of view. What have you been doing to make sure that this money reaches way for things to go? Well, I will then hand over to NESFAS and accounting authority to respond. I do want to be able to respond so that I can have a feel that you need to attend on. And moving forward, we will not experience the same frustration that you are experiencing here. And putting almost the university society into a disarray in the year. I'm not supposed to laugh, but indeed, this has been a crisis. We have been caught a crisis, and every time we talk to the crisis, we want to get to NESFAS. So NESFAS is help us about management, proper management, compliance, and also proper monitoring. And the certification of the monitoring. Over to you, Jay.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. I think let me start with the concern around the forensic to all the institutions. And of course, I think I'll ask the Department of the Department in this regard. Whatever we do against us, we do together with the department in many instances. But before maybe Dr. Pada comes in this particular situation, I must say that the issue of quality in the institutions against us is not something new. We've been quality in the institutions without necessarily respecting any thought or regulation in terms of making sure that our internal audit has been tasked to watch certain areas of the institution so that we can be effective and efficient in terms of doing our work. But what we have discovered on these levels that
we still need a lot to be done in terms of knowing that level, what are the other deficiencies in the institutions. But I think Tafara will say more in that particular regard. Chairperson, again, I think the issue of leadership in the AGL report, that AGL report was dealt with directly with us as the accounting authority. And we satisfy ourselves in terms of what needs to be done as leadership at NSFAC in terms of focusing to the work. I think I must take the portfolio committee into confidence that in the previous years, we find a situation whereby the key functions of NSFAC, especially identifying students as the clients of NSFAC, as this current board, which is covered that campus, was not there. It was more on NSFAC dealing with institutions, not dealing with the client itself. And we were channeled out, because my particular thing that we are prioritizing the transformation, but part of this transformation is implemented in terms of this program of money follow the student, which is part of our strategic plan, because we made our strategic plan to focus on all the key functions in particular, making sure that the student is the most important pillar in the manner in which we are going to deliver the work of this class. So we can agree more with you, certainly, when you are telling us that the monitoring will assist us, and that is the area of improvement that we have identified as the board of national that we need to do this close monitoring. And what we have done in that space of monitoring in terms of having established our focus committee. Before we didn't have so many committees, but now today we have a specific committee on ICT, because at NSFAS, the ICT has become the heart of the organization because we deliver to that. So as the board, in terms of having a very close monitoring and play an oversight, we have got an ICT that is focusing on that particular area. But not only on ICT, because we have got also a focus on issues of human resource and remuneration area. So the board is now hands-on the critical area that needs to be attended. I had you, Chairperson, and Yama talking about what we do with the so many employees that are coming up as a result of this transformation. So those things are not happening accidentally. Everything is known to the board in terms of this very close monitoring. And these committees are not just need once a year. Once a quarter, and that, in many cases, they are so busy. They come even every after 2 months to make sure that we get the management to account specifically on these issues. Because before, it used to be a situation whereby the key committees of the board will be the finance committee, the executive committee, and the board itself. But we've expanded in the interest of monitoring the organization. For instance, we emphasize on the issue of the audit and risk committee. And the audit and risk, our audit and risk committee does not only take the sitting board member as appointed by the minister. We even draw in expertise that we can come out there so that they can assist us in making sure that we have got a very close monitoring. And we hope that the accounting authority, this is going to enhance and help our oversight in NSFAS. And it's beginning to yield the results, Chairperson, and I'm sure it might not have been reflected in the year under review, but come the other year, because our ICT committee is the family newly appointed committee the board established at NSPAC, and at this point in time, it's revealed so many issues actually that have been rectified in the area of NSPAC. We are not excited, we're not supporting boldly and proud about unqualified projects. We fully agree with you, Mr. President. That said, we need to begin. We deal with money of the taxpayers, and there is no way that we can be ever about issues and think that when we report the unqualified project opinion enough. Because sometimes even when you get a very clean audit as accounting authorities, you still get concerned about specific things that we need to tell you. But we don't want to be rhetoric about these issues. That is why we established these committees of the board and they are answering the question, I can assure you, going forward in terms of addressing and beating up the role of the accounting authority, which is the board of NSPAC at this point in time. I think I agree with Honourable Member Chilian, but we quite aware that NSPAC is such a delicate situation that really needs a leadership that focuses positions in many ways, and this is what we are doing as a board, in making sure that we understand everything, we understand every transaction. So that playing our oversight, we are doing it from a very informed position. Again, the president, I would say that maybe some of our work, we're not a new board, because some of us, our term are going to finish, but in terms of restructuring ourselves to deal with the issue of an oversight, we're beginning to see the results, and then I hope they will come soon in going forward. I'm going to hand it over to the... okay, let me start with you, Dr. Parker, maybe to say more on this part of the
project. Thank you very much. I just want to perhaps clarify the issue of forensic audit in terms of what the Director General said at our meeting. The department, the minister had indicated to us that he would like us to institute a forensic audit. It hasn't yet been started. We should be at the time for a service provider fee. But it's based on the various allegations that he made in the system, particularly around issues like applicants who are fraudulently manipulate the eligibility criteria to obtain systems, applicants submitting false information to obtain financial aid, family members and guardians knowingly providing false applications and false information, altering documents being used in the validation of required required documentation for financial applications, and service providers who collude with students to defraud mistakes, financial aid offices at universities and teaching colleges who deliberately flout the guidelines on their validity of academic criteria or provide for people who ought not to be there on various. Now we've had many, many anecdotal complaints about this. But there's no actual hard, fast information. And from that point of view, the minister has said that the department needs to institute this forensic audit, and we need to do it across the system. Although as we implement it across the system, it will be obviously if we done piecemeal or piecemeal, we will be able to do it together. But there is an idea that we should, as we do it, think about how we can create a possibility for whistleblowers to come forward, and also identify people who've done this in the past, identify themselves, so that we're able to try and clean up the system and become better functioning in the future. So that's what the forensic audit is about. It hasn't yet been started. Once we have, we just finalized the terms of reference for it, they have to be approved. Once they've been approved, we will be looking for a search wire and it will be come out through a statement from the minister. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll answer two questions from the Chairperson of the Trade. The first one was amount owing by institutions that is disclosing statement of financial position in your client. What sense here is that at the end of the year, during the audit process, we perform an exercise called final reporting and we ask for results from the institutions. And that process, what reveals, we get the results to do the budget conversion, the 60-40 conversion to determine the budget component out of the amount that we discussed to students or to universities. And also what has happened is that at the beginning of the academic year, we would have discussed certain funds relating to students. But at the end of the academic year, what tends to happen is that there is a credit that stays. Say, for example, the course of study would have been classified in the student guideline as 50,000 per annum. But at the end of the fiscal, it is 25,000 per annum. That's come back to NSPAS, and we classify that as credit balances. So that is the amounts that are owed by institutions to NSPAS. And then around the debt recovery strategy or the dropouts, what we have done as NSPAS to make sure that we increase the value of our data that we had a discussion with SAS. We've obtained data from SAS to enable us to trace the students who are working, who are in the employed, because how the NSPAS system works, it just follows. It says that you go through universities, you graduate, we give you 12 months post your graduation to SAS interest, and we only begin to repay the NSPAS once you start working. So for those students or ex-students who drop out who are not working, we, based on the system, they are not eligible to pay. It's only the ones who are paid that we are chasing. And I've already added earlier to the provincial strategy, we've spoken to the Mpopo province, we've spoken to SASA, we've spoken to the KZN provincial department, where we made a presentation to the legislature. And we're also chasing the Gauteng province as well. We invited a forum where the Premier of Gauteng was addressing the Gauteng community, and we also raised the issue of the recovery bank. And also in the private sector as well, we continue to speak to various players in the private sector to appeal to the employees in the private sector to do the right thing, to repay the money, and make sure that we find other eligible qualifying students, academically qualifying students. And then the point number three is linked to number two, because it's not compliance with revenue management. And AG is a state historically because we haven't really put that much effort to ensure that we recover the debt. But there is a debt recovery strategy in place that is currently being implemented. It has been conversed with the different committees and from the partners.
Around this transfer and the question that we've been we had all the MSAT authorizations. The reason that we had the positions that are in this structure was as part of the transformation program, we had positions that were temporary in the structure that were not going to last because part of the implementation of the new program, and we had put those positions and went to employ people for the implementation of the transformation program. Not necessarily they were in this structure of the organization. That's going to last in the future. We funded those positions from within the personal budget. There were no increase in terms of the full personal budget. There was a question, that you also posed about what NSPAS is doing about institutional training. You made an example of Shalela, one of the colleges. The engagement that we have with the institutions, at the beginning of the year, we set the deadline because we want to monitor them. We say, for instance, by June, we should obtain 50% so that we can see when things are about to go wrong before the system breaks. We then set up those guys with the institutions, but we work very closely with the department here, the tier section of the department. Because when things break, it is very necessary for the authority to take action. For instance, some colleges, because of our voting, were put under administration by the department, because they reported the fact that so they are not doing what they are supposed to do. And the right department to say, we think that something should be done, and then the department will get involved. And in some instances, they are quite involved to the point that some places were even put under administration. We also help the colleges on the case side by sending people to colleges or damage to various colleges. In fact, in some places, we also assist them. When we see that they witness in the administration, we suspect our own people from NESAS through the financial aid office to assist the financial aid of the university to process the process things. We recently assisted the university to make sure that the process things all things reach us as NESAS. And we try and actively assist in that process, but also part of the system, when we get to a point, but it's so happens sometimes that the institution has got more money than they actually need, maybe in a certain category. When we get to that point, there's also a redistribution process where we then say, okay, if the institution takes advantage of this money for this student, we will find another institution that is going to assume that student that should be funded from that money, because we have to make sure that the money that we need to at the end of the academic year is fully utilized. The risk management framework and strategy. We have had a recently gone to board with a risk management policy that is now entered and approved. We have appointed the CFO is a ranking such a group. We have also appointed a person with a risk and compliance manager to ensure that risks are actively monitored and managed by the various departments in the network. But also the compliance with laws and regulations is also actually managed. We're beginning to take this area seriously because we're seeing in the oil catalogs for some of the items are about compliance with laws and regulations. That's why we're still seeing the gap between an unqualified audit and a clean audit is because of the compliance issues with laws and regulations, but also the issue around performance information. Going forward, the start of our performance information has changed significantly. So there's a new strategy that is under development. There's also a new annual performance plan. What we've also done is we have been trained by Treasury, where they have offered to review our ETP, quality of ETP response for final approval processes. And that is what happened. We're now a senior manager that is dedicated to service planning and performance monitoring and the ETP to ensure that we don't end up going away in terms of the attachment of support and performance information. It's an area that we're working on the department actively about us understanding what we can do, what our role is. We're currently running workshops in the last Saturday, the next two Saturdays, with student leadership from the rest of the school. We gave them last week. We're counting this weekend, we're going to take next week to actually engage student leadership and understand the very platform from the side of student leadership so that we not only share information, but we can be able to resolve some of the problems before we hit the first half of the next year. Thanks for the question.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you so much for this engagement. And indeed, we have deeper insight on what you are doing, the challenges, and what you are doing about the challenges. But also, I'm sure you also consider all the issues raised by the honourable member. Because, to be honest, we have to be very important to see how things are to be issues, because it's really too clear for us to raise issues and then much time. Well, just to reiterate to the accounting authority that this government is serious about the right of socio-economic transformation and we want it to be your driving force to the radical socio-economic transformation, such
particularly because indeed we are now in the second phase of our transformation. Therefore, we cannot do things as usual. So that is to really take seriously. And quality education, teaching myself on the strength because I really want to drive the point home, is at the center of this radical transformation and the increased access by also those who come from the previous physical damage, you know, are at the center of this turnaround. Now, thank God, we have a progressive department that has come up with a progressive white paper that describes that indeed we should see this and we should prioritize the quality education and increased access, but we also be addressing more equity issues. And this committee, we are aware of the budgetary constraints that are confronting government or even NESPA, but we must thank the department for having to have money for this, for having made provision for this for NESPA, and but also for the annual increase of NESPA allocation by the department. Now, as I said, that indeed we do have budgetary constraints, but whatever we do, we are all expected to do that. We think within the parameters of the law and within the parameters of the policy framework that this government has put in place. Now, I am aware of the fiscal policy that talks to the fact that even if we got budgetary constraints, we're going to try and do more with little. So what I'm saying is just policy and all of us are supposed to know it and implement policy to that. Probably, you know, we can't get a policy and don't implement it. So I just going to implement it. So, but also, the other side of the coin is that as the policy dictates that we do more with little, it also talks to just put a legal framework in the form of your PFMA that talks to resources, to ask them to use the limited resources economically and also avoid wasteful and fruitless expenditure. This one is so we have no choice but to implement. But the other national treasury policy is that we should bring down a mean cost in favor of services that we see your project that is attended with the increase to a mean cost instead of putting it down so that you can put more money for your shares. I'm sure as we move forward with any strategic policy, because those structures are not necessarily a solution for the disease. Many people, if they are inefficient, they need to learn the process. So instead, we learn that leaner and meaner and effective and efficient structures are recommended. I think it talks to do more with leisure to them, but if you got people who are really capacitated, they should be able to assist us. And avoid using more money or any cost when we need more money for children. But thank you very much for the robust engagement. And I'm sure if they follow up, now that you're not allowed to ask,
the question I made, the chairperson, that he did a response, a written response on the Auditor General report.
Come again, show that we see.
Chairperson, just before we compile up the chapter of reports, we need the responses upon issues raised by the Auditor General as contained in the report, the annual report. And we need to have specific, all the weaknesses identified, what measures they're putting in place to correct the deficiency. Which on pages 44 to 46-7. Thank you.
Chair, I'm sure you can go with this. When we are expected to submit our report by Tuesday, we should be having a draft report. Remember, we're working very hard to make sure that indeed we also are in line with this radical social economy, which means where we are requested to do, to walk an extra mile, it's a sacrifice. It's all a sacrifice. turn around so that people can trust us with less trust. Thank you very much. I thank you that we have come to the end of the discussion with Nesha. Nesha will then express many issues and commit by when you think of an expression because she ends in a time bound. I'm going today, Thursday, Friday, to be here to Monday. Monday
is the progress, especially. Yes, no, because we've been dealing with it. It's always easy to respond to the order for the general report.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much. And, no, that's fine. Thank you very much. All the information that we are sending in information from Israel is also for the quality outcome. Thank you very much. So, shall we then take just 5 minutes break so we can then start with CHE?
Thank you.